Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, I'm Hugh Wisencroft. You're listening to TalkSport, and it's time to look back at day 14 of Qatar 2022. As a round of 16 ties got underway, this is the World Cup Daily.
After the sheer unpredictability and drama of the group stages, this is where things really do come to the crunch. Nothing like knockout football at the World Cup. Flick back in towards Pulisic, the flag stays down. Goalkeeper makes a great save to his left-hand side. Gakpo striding forward menacingly, the number 8. Angles the pass wide to the near side, and Dumfries, he will pull it back to Pai. What a finish! Into the bottom corner. Pulisic is in, angle tight in the penalty area. The flick is into the back of the net. And the US have scored. Denzel Dumfries puts it into the net and surely puts the Dutch into the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And the US were not back in the game for long. The Netherlands 3, the US 1. The American dream of the World Cup might be coming to an end here.
And match number 1,000 in the senior career of one Lionel Andres Messi. 788 goals in his previous 999 appearances for club and country. But not only is a World Cup missing off his stellar CV, but also a goal in the knockout stages of this tournament. Messi has it again, goes for goal! Messi! A grand worth of games with a grand old finish! Past Matthew Ryan, it just had to be him! Argentina 1, Australia 0. A drive deflected it in! They've got one back! And it's Craig Goodwin who's given Australia hope.
There's been many great clashes between Argentina and the Dutch. It'll happen again this week because the full-time score here, Argentina 2, Australia 1.
So Argentina and the Netherlands will meet in the last 8 of the World Cup after victories today. I'm alongside Ian Danter and the former Wales striker Dean Saunders to take a look back at all of the events from out here in Doha. And we begin with the Netherlands beating the United States by 3-1. Dean, you watched all of that match. Look down here in the media center at the Ahmad Bin Ali Stadium. And for a lot of that match, there was only really one team in it. The Netherlands seemed to have the purpose, the patterns of play, the understanding and relationship with one another. And, you know, it just wasn't to be for the United States, even though there was a kind of positive start, a huge missed chance for Christian Pulisic. They were very quickly 2 down, and at that point you just didn't see them coming through it. Even when they pulled a goal back, they managed to concede once again, and that was game over.
Yeah, and you're talking about the end product there. Christian Pulisic, he just surprises you, doesn't he? He gets in some great positions but doesn't seem to be able to finish the chance, or he doesn't pick the right pass, or he squares it behind someone. And I can see why, you know, he gets a bit of criticism. But outside the box, I think he's really sharp. You know, he plays 1-2s and gets it, puts people in. But he missed a chance there early on in the game. But the Dutch showed a bit of class there. And actually, pace. They've got pace up front.
The United States at this tournament so far, they're obviously going home. It was solid, but not particularly inspiring, I guess. Is that fair?
Yeah, and again, you know, right in front of the goal, have they got a striker who's going to turn balls across the face into goals? I don't think so, but they played all right, but I would just say just all right.
Well, they started 3 different strikers in their 4 games, didn't they? They played right in one of their games. It was Ferreira today. Norwich's Josh Sargent started a couple of games through the middle as well. But they're a young side. It would have been a positive experience for them to make it through to the knockout stages. I think you see the basis there of a team that can do something. That's important for them. Obviously, was it important on a wider scale of things that they had a positive World Cup, because they will be pretty much the main hosts. Yes, co-hosts alongside Mexico and Canada in 4 years' time, but the majority of the games taking place in the United States. It was, you know, a dream or a desire of theirs to really capture their nation's imagination during this competition. They didn't really, but I think those young players would have got a valuable experience.
Yeah, and the next time round, I think they'll be better for it. Sargent, as you can see, he's physically grown. You know, he's been at Norwich. He's got some goals as well. I don't know whether he was injured today. I think I'm not sure.
He had an
ankle injury.
Yeah,
I think he was. So they played Ferreira, who's a bit like Firmino-type player, who actually, I think, is really good with his football. Actually doesn't get enough goals to be an out-and-out number nine, but they've got options all around the pitch. And as you said, young team, learning. This will do them the world of good. And next time round, I think you'll see them be a miles better team than they are now.
Well, the Netherlands go marching on. Let's hear the thoughts of the former England striker, Dean Ashton, who was our co-commentator on the game on TalkSport. He says the Dutch look formidable in this tournament.
I mean, they look so dangerous on the counter-attack, the Dutch. And, you know, looking at that performance and how tactically Louis van Gaal got it spot on, you wouldn't want to face them. You wouldn't, because of that counter-attacking threat that they pose. If you're, jumping ahead, say Argentina go through, the way that they counter-attack, I think, would cause Argentina some problems. If you imagine Otamendi being dragged out wide, and then the wing-backs were fantastic as well for the Netherlands today. So, hard to break down, very, very organised, and got a real cutting edge. It's not a bad combo.
So Dean Ashton there reflecting on the Netherlands. They are a pretty dangerous side in this tournament, aren't they? Should we fear them?
Like Louis van Gaal, he's gone against the grain. All Dutch teams have always played 4-3-3. Wide players coming in off the lines and full-backs overlapping, three in midfield. But he's playing a back five, totally against the grain. He's getting a lot of criticism for it. He's got some experienced people sat next to him, all ex-internationals, Danny Blind's dad's one of them.
Daley Blind's on the bench. Edgar Davids on the bench as well.
So they'll be seeing things that he's not seeing. But he's stuck to his guns and he's going, this is the way forward. This is how we're going to get success. And the more games they keep winning, the more belief they're going to get. But they have got some athletes, as Dean said. They're on the break. Dumfries, Gakpo, like lightning.
Memphis Depay, quality finish from him as well today. I always felt in the game against the United States that the quality in the forward line would be the difference. You've already highlighted the issues that the United States have. Ian, Louis van Gaal has said before the tournament that he thinks this is a better side than the one that came third back in 2014. Do you think they can surprise us all? And it would be, I think, for many a surprise if they beat Argentina in the next game. But could they surprise us all and maybe replicate that?
Well, he's talked about he doesn't want to play boring football. He's talking about winning football. He's leaving the post at the end of this tournament. Of course, he's not been very well. And we wish him well, with his fight against prostate cancer. Then we know that Ronald Koeman's going to be taking over once this World Cup is done and dusted. The players seem to be playing for him. The players seem to be accepting of the system that Dean's just mentioned. That's a bit different to previous Dutch systems, and that they're making it work for them. And Gakpo is the star of the show in many ways. The finish early in the tournament with his left foot, he just wrapped his left, such a sweet strike. He's got a lot of good things. Central midfield might be an area for me where they might be undone a little bit. Klaassen's done okay in midfield. We remember he wasn't really a big hit at Everton, was he, when he played there? And you've got Van Dijk, who can stroll through games and look like he's barely got a bead of sweat on him, and he's tidying everything up, left, right and centre.
Well, and Nathan Ake, so you've got Man City's centre-back and Liverpool's centre-back at the heart of your defence, and you've got Depay.
Matthias De Ligt came off the bench today in their defence as well, the Bayern Munich centre-back, who was, of course, at Ajax and Juventus previously. I don't know if he carries or not, but I actually think, that's part of what Louis van Gaal prefers right now, but that's a high-quality defender to have in your pocket, basically.
Also, Malacia's not getting a game by the look of it. I mean, how much did Man United pay for him? He was, what was he, 60
no,
million?
No, no, not too much. No, Malacia was something like 15 million.
Is that all?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no wonder he's not playing then. well, he's a good player, though, and you've seen he's got, you know, he's got a bit of determination in him.
He certainly adds a very different physical element to what Daley Blind, formerly of Manchester United, of course, added, but actually got on the score sheet today and shared a magical moment with his dad on the coaching staff on the bench, went over and gave him a big hug. They pressed their foreheads together and they just looked into each other's eyes, and it was a nice family moment between
Imagine
the two of them.
Imagine being able to do that with your dad. I would love to have done that. Run off the pitch, scored, and shared it with my dad. But he's lucky there. But to be fair, he's had the similar injury than Christian Eriksen's had. He's got a pacemaker. So every game he plays will be like a bonus for him.
Yeah, maybe he didn't think he'd be back at this level, but he is. And on the score sheet today, Daley Blind. We're talking about someone who wasn't on the score sheet today in the shape of Cody Gakpo. He's had a good World Cup so far, as Ian mentioned. Before we talk a little bit about him, here's the former PSV and Netherlands winger Bolo Zenden speaking to Weekend Sports Breakfast about working with the young star.
He's really been developing himself. When he entered the scene, he was definitely more the wide player who had a lot of crosses and assists. That's how he got important. And then he started focusing on scoring goals. And then all of a sudden, he scored a lot of goals, but he didn't give any more decisive passes or assists. So now, in our time, we've been working on those aspects as well. And now all of a sudden, this season, he's been able to combine the both. So he's been literally involved in many, many goals, either by scoring or by an assist. And he's taken his form from the club into this World Cup.
So Cody Gakpo being spoken about there by Bolo Zenden, the former at Barcelona and Middlesbrough man. He's added a lot to his price tag. Manchester United had been chasing him. He's now going to have, I think they're going to have a lot of opposition now for his signature, because he's added that. He's got speed. He's got a bit of trickery. He's obviously got size. He's about 6'2", and he's been fine in the back of the net, and that will have people shopping for you.
Strong as an ox as well. When he gets level with a defender, he's not going to get brushed off the ball. When you think of the players they've had over the years, I remember they had Kluivert, Bergkamp, Van Basten, Seedorf, Winter, Ronald Koeman, Ruud Gullit. I mean, they're not a massive country. They keep churning them out, these players. And they've put it down to the system, that they all know where they're playing and how they're coached to play in that system. And they just bring them through. But Louis van Gaal, fair play to him. You know, the whole country's going, what are you doing? Playing with three centre-backs. And he's got strength of character, and he just ploughs on. But Gakpo's definitely benefited from it.
I think one of the things that was massive for Dutch football was the strength of the clubs in the Eredivisie. You know, if you stayed at Ajax, you had a chance of winning the European Cup. The only place you would really leave is to go to one of the giants. And most of the players that you mentioned, you know, they're leaving to go to a Barcelona or a Real Madrid. Otherwise, they stay and play together in the Eredivisie for a team like Ajax or PSV in years gone by. And that isn't the case. They're scattered all over Europe now. They're learning different types of football and playing at different levels as well. And maybe that affects them slightly.
The other thing that Van Gaal's been able to do is ride out the initial storm of Jesper Cillessen not being in the squad. Mm-hmm. He was outraged, the goalkeeper, that he hadn't been called up. So Andries Noppert of Heerenveen has suddenly been handed the gloves. And he's stepped up and he's kept goal pretty well for the Netherlands up to this point. So Cillessen has not been missed. And normally what happens is the Dutch are good at falling out with one another. We've seen that in previous tournaments. But there appears to be a unity and a solidity to the Dutch that Louis van Gaal should take all the credit for.
Well, they're going to be a difficult prospect for Argentina up next, to beat Australia by 2-1. Lionel Messi marking his 1,000th professional appearance with a goal that helped Argentina qualify for the quarterfinals. There is a question mark for me about whether they are looking slightly unconvincing. I know you don't agree with me, Ian Danter, on that. You think they've got a good chance of still troubling this competition. Maybe I'm reflecting too much on that opening defeat against Saudi Arabia. today.
Because Spain in 2010 lost their opening game against Switzerland.
Yeah.
Won the thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's on me. I'll take full responsibility for it. But yeah, when you look at Argentina today, Dean Saunders, and the way that they played against Australia, we give the Australians huge credit. We think about what could have been, because both goals in many ways were gifts for Argentina. And maybe that is one of the reasons that I think, well, hold on a minute, shouldn't a top quality Argentina side, you know, be creating lots of goal scoring opportunities and taking them against a side like Australia? And the only time that really happened was when the Australians were pushing for an equaliser late on, and they were able to attack with Messi and Lautaro Martinez late on at will. Generally speaking, I haven't seen a dominant team yet.
No, and when you look at Rolls is playing for Hearts in Scotland, and Suter's playing for Stoke City. Degenek's playing for Columbus Crew. You'd think that Alvarez, Messi and Gomez would have had too much for them, but they were just sort of comfortable for 45 minutes, apart from Messi's bit of genius that he produced from a free kick. But I think as well, and how can you defend with 10 men when you get to the latter stages in tournaments? But part of me saying, well, they've not lost for 37 games, so that's going alright. But when you see Messi, he doesn't just play centre forward and walk back. Sometimes he's on the left and he walks back. So your right back's getting overloaded, whatever side he's on when he's walking back. But he causes maximum damage up the other end of the pitch, which gets you a result. So, but I don't know, when they come up in the crunch, when they come up against the best teams, do you think they can hold out defending with 10 men, basically?
We know Messi will play every minute. Doesn't matter who they play. Maybe if they're 5 or 6 nil up, he might come off. But generally speaking, in any game where there's one or two goals involved, he will be staying on the pitch. The point is, they seem to, in those 36 matches you mentioned, they seem to have a recipe for dealing with Lionel Messi. And bear in mind, during a big wedge of that time, you know, he wasn't playing at his best, and they still have managed to keep him in this team and get positive results. So they must have a way.
Bearing in mind what you said earlier, Dean, Messi's almost daring the opposition to, you know, leave a man on him. Because obviously, if Messi is wandering back from offside positions, there's an overload, there's a potential overload. But also, in the back of the opposing team's minds, where is he?
Yeah.
Are they going to find him with a pass? Is he going to suddenly join in line and then spin in and go behind again? That's always there.
Yeah. I just think when you've got a lazy striker, centre forward, who's not running back, at least you know your wide players are working back, helping the fullbacks. But when they interchange like they do, I mean, Di Maria's not playing today, which probably, you know, that would have helped him if he was playing. Helps all the linking the moves up. But they'll be there or thereabouts, but I just think Brazil will end up winning it.
Okay, long way still to go. We shall see if there are more shocks. And it's been a tournament of shocks, to be perfectly honest, so far. There might be another shock tomorrow night. We're hoping not. You're listening to World Cup Daily. I'm Hugh Wisencroft, alongside Ian Danter and the former Wales striker Dean Saunders. We're looking ahead to the big one. England taking on Senegal, live on TalkSport on Sunday evening.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Is in behind Conor Roberts, right-hand side of the area, checks, gets it onto his left foot. Oh, finds it straight through Danny Ward for number three.
Now the joint top scorer, he has said openly, I'm going to be England's version of Mbappe. That's confidence.
Shaw firing it in, Bellingham! 1-0 England! And the immensely talented teenager is off and running!
Senegal's the be-all and end-all for us at the minute. If we get past them, then we'll worry about what comes next. But for right now, all the focus is on that game.
Only half cleared and put in! Kalidou Koulibaly, the captain, leads by example!
Well, it'll be tough. Very well organised. They've got a lot of good individual players. Of course, a lot of players playing in the big European leagues. And the expectations now will rise, of course. So we've got to handle that. Show must go!
We'll see if England make it through Sunday evening on TalkSport against Senegal, who've conceded from a set piece in every game during this winter's World Cup. Let's hear from the England boss, Gareth Southgate, who says they will pose a threat at dead ball situations.
Well, set plays are always important. We've probably not been as efficient as we would have liked on those in the tournament so far. I think also Every country are defending those situations better. You know, you see lots of specialist coaches now employed right across the board. So the level of detail is higher for every team, and you know, even to get the ball back in from a throw-in is hard work now. So that is one of the ways the game is evolving, really.
Gareth Southgate, the England boss there, Dean Saunders alongside me, shaking his head listening to that one. What do you think about Senegal and set piece defending?
I don't get that. If you're a Premier League manager, you should be an expert on set plays. You shouldn't need someone else to come and help you. You should be an expert on, that's part of the job. 65% of games are won on a set play. So if you don't know what you're doing on set plays, you're in big trouble. You won't win many.
But surely you've got to be an expert on everything if you're a Premier League manager. So it's not the worst thing in the world to get a little bit of help from the analysts.
Well, how does he know more than you when you're getting £8 million a year? How does he know more than you about set plays? I don't get it. I mean, if I had to employ a set piece coach, I'd pack in.
Okay, all right. We'll see.
If I don't know how to get a defence organised to defend set free kicks and corners, and if I don't know how to do it, I mean, the players you've got sometimes, it does matter who likes heading the ball and who's got the desire to get on the end of it, and you can put as many as you like out there. If they don't like heading it, you'll fail. So I suppose the secret is sign players who like heading the ball out of your box, who are good at it.
We're going to talk about how England might approach it and whether it will, in your opinion, come down to a set piece in a second. But let's hear from the England captain, Harry Kane, yet to score a goal at this World Cup so far. Not worried about that goal-scoring form?
Form-wise, you know, I feel like I've been playing well. You know, obviously the goals are probably what I'm going to be judged on most. But as always, I'm a calm individual, and you know, I always try and focus on the team and doing my best for the team, and I feel like I can do that in many ways, as I've said before. So I'll continue to try and do that. If the goals come, then great. It means that it'll give us a better chance of winning the game, and as a striker, I always want to be scoring goals for sure.
The reason that I wanted to wait to discuss set pieces some more and to hear from Harry Kane and his lack of goal scoring form is because I think the two topics are intertwined. There has always been a big focus under Gareth Southgate about set pieces being defining in terms of winning games in tournaments. And maybe there hasn't been enough focus on scoring goals from clear-cut goal-scoring opportunities in terms of open play? Because in that area, despite the goals already scored by England in this tournament, and they did qualify with the best record, in terms of creating those chances as we go through the tournament, England get into tighter games, tighter and tighter games on the score sheet. They usually tend not to create a number of goal-scoring opportunities. I wonder what you think about it.
That
Danter is absolutely fed up with me, by the way. No. He's absolutely fed up with me.
No, I'm not fed. No, why do you think I'm fed? I'm trying to be positive about England. I'm trying not to be a fun sponge about England's chances of getting through in this tournament. We've got a lot to be positive about. Maguire is clearly enjoying his football again. He's in a squad where he's far more at home and away from all the noise that's accompanied his last 6 months, 12 months at Manchester United. We've got options up front with Saka, Foden, Grealish, Madison if he's fit, although Rashford. He's training out at Rashford. Mm. Harry Kane hasn't scored yet, but he's been assisting goals. And Dean's referenced that great ball he put across for Sterling early on in the tournament. There's lots to be positive about with England.
Well, if I was Harry Kane, because I played in his position, I'd be saying, is anybody going to make me a chance? Is anybody going to whip some balls in the box for me? Because if you put balls in the box early for me, I will get on the end of it. That's what, if I was Harry Kane, I'd be saying that to everybody. Just get the ball in the box. That's why he gets 20 goals every season and he's worth over 100 million quid. And he's not missed a chance. I can't remember the last time he missed a chance. And if you don't miss him, you don't score him. You've got to get chances. Who's making chances for him?
I'm positive about England. I think they'll beat Senegal.
Senegal are, African champions. So losing Sadio Mane, massive blow. But they've got out of the group. So they've ridden that particular problem out. Illiman Ndiaye, who I've seen a lot play for Sheffield United, is a very lively forward. Sort of drifts out to the flanks, can play right and left. Ismail Assar, another championship striker with Watford. Pace to burn, very, very quick. So Kyle Walker might be worthy of, being out there to, everyone's saying, oh, save Walker for Mbappe. Well, hang on. Don't rule out what Ismail Assar can do when he gets the afterburners on. So
I've seen Dan James off, Kyle Walker, with his pace. He had a couple of duels with him early on.
Absolutely.
Outstrengthed him, outpaced him, seen him off. But this team, this Senegal team, won the African Nations, didn't they? On
they
penalties,
did.
Mane. Yeah. Mane missing is obviously a big blow. I think he struck the winning penalty against Egypt.
Yep.
So they're a good team. I think England are a good team. It's going to be a really good game.
Well, the interesting thing, Idrissa Gana Gueye plays further forward for this team, for Senegal, than we saw him play for Everton, for example, when he played in the Premier League for them. It's intriguing how he's deployed much further forward. So we'll see how they get on. I mean, Koulibaly marshals them well at the back. He's done okay since he's gone to Chelsea.
And they haven't got a care in the world. They play as if... I mean, apparently they were just laughing all the way through training the other day. They come into the stadium singing, dancing. They've got like a jukebox and they're all in formation singing and dancing. They're a dangerous team. When they've got no pressure, they're relaxed. You know, so when you play for England, by the way, I'm in Welsh, so I can say it. When you play for England, you must be worrying about, I'm going to get absolutely hammered if I don't play well today.
Well, but then Harry Maguire said you block out the noise of that hammering. The people that matter to Harry Maguire are his immediate bosses, his coaches, Gareth Southgate, Steve Holland, whoever, Erik ten Hag at Manchester United, and maybe his close family and friends. He will block out the noise from everything else. That's what you have to do when you're an England player.
Yeah, you have to, but I think some have struggled to cope with it. You know, I've played with some of them, and they come back, and it's just like a relief when they get back. Obviously, there's a lot of expectation on them and some of them can't cope.
We all expect England to go through. The other last 16 game tomorrow, on Sunday, TalkSport 2, 3 o'clock kickoff, France against Poland. Are we expecting a comfortable French victory there, Ian?
Probably about as comfortable in a sense as Argentina looked to be having today before Australia got that goal back. They made a lot of changes for the defeat to Tunisia. Clearly, that was Deschamps giving players a couple of days rest. So the likes of Mbappe and Co and Giroud will be back full and firing. Griezmann's the key for me. I think he's brilliant. I think he could be one of the players of the tournament. Love his new role as a number 10. So, yeah, I think Poland have really got to step it up because they were dreadful against Argentina.
Yeah, I agree. 1.4 billion the squad's worth when you add it up. And Giroud gives them something different. Mbappe, another freak footballer who can win the game on his own. I think they'll breeze past Poland.
Okay, that's all to come on Sunday in Dantadin. Saunders, thank you very much. Don't forget the TalkSport World Cup Daily Podcast, available to download on the free TalkSport app or wherever you get your podcast from. And it will be there every morning throughout the tournament in Qatar.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.